Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. Sitting across from me is
Mike Cosentino over here. We got a good one. We've got another full studio this morning.
We have a full studio, and we have participants who are all involved in the Sedona campus of Yavapai College.
Yeah, and we want to talk a little what goes on.
Why don't
on
you
out
introduce
there?
them, Mike? Or have them introduce themselves.
Yeah, we'll give it our best shot. We have, we'll start with Jeremy here. Jeremy, tell us a little about who you are. And so, and plus, it gives people a chance to hear your voice and realize it's not my whiny, my very un-radio voice. Go ahead.
Yeah, my name's Jeremy Hawks. I am an instructor at the film school. sometimes you got to put it on for the movies too, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
and I've been there for 11 years.
All right. And this is okay. And you're going to tell us we got to, this is for all those people that are now, you know, maybe switching over to Fox News. You're going to tell us the difference between the film school and Yavapai College, and is there a difference? We have Robin. What's
Robin Weeks? Yeah.
Robin Weeks. What's going on with you?
Well, I'm the coordinator of Ollie.
Coordinator of Ollie.
Yes, the OSHA Lifelong Learning Institute, which is located at the Sedona campus.
Very good.
Basically. And I've been doing that for about a year and a half now.
Excellent.
But it's a program that's been going for 10 years.
And Robin was mentioned at a recent city council meeting as the kind of leadership that the college needed, somebody who can develop and maintain a successful program.
And we are going to talk a lot about Ollie this morning. It's a popular program. And then we have a representative of Ollie here, as a matter of fact. Paul, what's...
Hi. My name is Paul Friedman. I've been associated with Ollie as a facilitator of their learning groups and workshops for about 8 years since I moved to Sedona. And I've seen it grow from a little acorn with about under 50 members to a large oak tree with about 10 times that number. So it's been a very exciting time with Ollie over the years here.
Paul's a former college professor, and he had a series of events where Republicans and Democrats dialogue, one of which I was, and we debated the Constitution and broke down into small groups. And so, Paul, you're trying to mediate. I know that, you know, people who are not as deeply involved in politics get worried about the polarization of the right and the left of Republicans and Democrats, and you're trying to, seems to be always in the background, to get some kind of dialogue, civil dialogue going between the sides. And the meeting I went to worked very well. You know, we discussed the Constitution, have very different views, but I think it was very helpful.
Yeah, yes, it's a strong interest of mine. My emphasis as a teacher was in conflict resolution. And when I moved to Sedona, I started Sedona Mediation Service, which is a free service available to people in Sedona, based in the city manager's office, to help people resolve disputes. But there are disputes on the one-to-one level, the customer, business person, the landlord, tenant, etc. And there's also disputes, within the town, within the state, within the country, and we have to learn to talk them through and reach, compromises and understandings.
Yeah, although the show this morning, I mean, the name of the show is Democratic Perspective, and we have a political perspective here, but we're kind of putting that in the back burner this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about all the interesting and community-oriented and good things that are happening at the Sedona campus of Yavapai College, but we are also going to reference, before the time is through here, some of the controversy that's going on out there. To put it simply, to say at the top of the show that the governing board of Yavapai College has in their master plan, plans to sell the campus and
to sell the Sedona campus, and it set off huge controversy in Sedona. There've been two large meetings about it.
That got 70 people at a recent board meeting held on this campus on March 4th. And it was a lot of a lot of people in conflict. Paul's office and might be getting some business here, hopefully it will be anyway. So that's kind of where we're going this morning. I'd like to kick it off though with, the film school, guy here.
Every time we go to a meeting, there's a question of what happened to the film school. A while back, it was seemed to be a large, vibrant institution. Lots of people there. They were winning prizes and so forth and so on. What's happening with the film school?
Jeremy.
That's a question of the semester, of the year, it seems like. At least one of the more popular ones for us. Film school has been around in, 14 years. This is our 14th year. And we have a rich history here. We have awards even just recently. The Andrew Carnegie Medal Award, that one of our students, Katya, won for the children's video, library.
Cool.
Now we just have a recent alumni who directed her first, feature documentary with Robert Redford and Paul Watson, and it just premiered at the Sedona Film Festival. Amazing attendance, and then she went up to Salt Lake City, and over 500 people showed up. 200 got rejected at the door, because there wasn't enough seats. So we're still very, very
successful.
Still yeah, still I mean, we're active.
There's still stuff going on.
But the college says they're sunsetting the film program. And that they will reconsider it. When people say you're closing the film program, they say, no, we're not closing it. We're putting it on a hiatus. We're putting it on pause and reconsidering it and reconsidering, I suppose, where it's going to be.
That feels like that's their answer to every question that's asked. They're not going to give us any hard decisions as far as when I ask. And I think what makes it difficult in the staff and the students is that we know what we have here, but not a lot of people really are aware of how the college sees us from the other side. And where they come from is back in 2005, 2004, they were coming to axe our programs right then. They got rid of the president with a vote of no confidence, who started the Sedona Film Campus. She and Dan Gordon got together. They brought the film school here. We brought many programs, digital media. We had PE in there. Yeah. the community was just, using our, they were coming in. We had events with the community. It was almost like we had an event almost every, and at the end of every week. I remember being there and it was an amazing job. I mean, it was something that we were really appreciative of the community and the things that were flowing, the things that were happening. As time went on, relationships became, I'm stuck in the middle. I'm kind of in the sandwich. But relationships between the college, Dan Gordon, directors of the program, it went on and on, and how it was able to, come to this point, I think really ultimately became more of a convenience for the college than anything.
So you think there's a disconnect between, the support and the participants of the film school. And the college's lack of appreciation of it. And while you're thinking about that, we also want to talk about what's happening now. Where are we? There's still film school stuff happening right now, right?
Oh yeah. I was just up in Flagstaff and we were shooting a short film. my knee's kind of out because we've been running all over the place.
Is that what you mean by short film? You had a good
no. Sorry. Yeah, right. Okay, yeah, no, no. It's just a matter of no matter what. I know Arizona is not friendly today to film in relation to Atlanta, Louisiana, New Mexico. And of course you have LA on the map. The idea around this is that eventually it's going to change, and it always does. I mean, Tucson just passed a bill just for their own city to be friendly to film. So we know this, and our passion to filmmaking is always going to continue, and we're going to go on, and we're going to continue in this kind of career. The students today in that school, they're a little disappointed, and not just a little, they're a lot. They don't trust the college. there's a lot of things that it's not appreciated by them in relation to how the college approached the program this year. And, you know, to their credit, that's where they come from. But as far as where the college, or I'm sorry, where the film school stands today, you know, we're entering with our 14th year annual film festival at the Mary D. Fisher, and we're going to try and throw one.
The president of the college suggested that because the film industry was changing, she said, that was one reason to shut down the program for a while.
The film industry is booming, and it always will. See, even if the economy sinks, the film industry still stands. You know,
like bars.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody still goes to the movies. You don't see a decline in films in the theater. You know, you're always going to go see a movie. And, of course, Hollywood always wants to try and make it so that they...
So was it a lack of commitment to the idea of having a film school, or was it lack of commitment to the Sedona campus, which is about as far from Prescott as you can get in terms of the campuses they have, or both?
Yeah, I think that in relation to how we operate over here, we've been, you know, really short-staffed. A lot of things have been pulled from this campus. So, yeah, the commitment isn't there in relation to how to run a program. And does this program fit into the college? I mean, they have to question that too. And they're considering that it doesn't. And
yeah, I've said for years now, if Yavapai College, and this is, you know, if you wanted a business to fail, run it like Yavapai College. And I can list the, you know, from promotion, from cutting programs, from the lack of commitment, department heads, you know, having remote leadership. I mean, we can go on and on. Where any local buy-in that you did have, you extinguish. You know, there's positive, negative, and there's extinguishment. But the one bright spot, we're going to come back to Jeremy, the one bright spot here is actually, there's several bright spots, and that's what we're talking about this morning. But I just kind of have this negative thing. We're going to talk about Ollie, though. We want to talk about Ollie.
Let's go back a second, which in 2000, there was the Sedona Center for Arts and Technology. There were lots and lots of programs. The remaining programs are the film to program that Jeremy's talking about, which is being sunsetted, right? It's going to end this year. And the very, very successful, in fact, when I was at the city council meeting, Robin's leadership of Ollie was praised as the kind of leadership we need in the college to make a program work. So tell us about Ollie.
Robin, go ahead. What you got? Give us the official line here.
The official line about Ollie? It's not totally the official line, but it's my line.
Good.
You can look at Ollie a lot of different ways, actually. I look at it as a kind of learning community, and it's really a school within a school. So it's part of Yavapai College, but it runs itself. So it's somewhat independent from the college. It uses the space that the college provides. It's partly based on an endowment that the college got about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that runs about a third of our costs, the endowment does. And we just run it. So it's designed to be member run, basically. Gotcha. So it's and the college is part of the rules of the endowment, and the college can't really interfere too much with how the program runs. So it's got this aspect of being independent. It's supposed to be member run, and the byline of Ollie is for the love of learning. So the program is based. Its objective is the love of learning. And so in the program, we have people who share something that they love to share, basically. And you go and take classes and follow your curiosity. And so it's
all non-credit, right, Rob?
It's all non-credit, and it's just for your own joy, your own love of learning. And so that is something that I find works really well, especially here in Sedona.
I can see that. Yeah. I can see that.
And so how many people, sorry, Mike, but how many people are taking Ollie courses at any given time in Sedona? And you have a Clarkdale presence. There's a fairly large Clarkdale presence, and there's a presence in Beaver Creek?
Yeah, a small presence. We offer a few classes there. We offer about In a typical term, we offer over 100 classes, split between here and Clarkdale. Two-thirds of the classes happen in Sedona.
Wow.
And two-thirds of the membership is in Sedona.
And Yavapai College facility facilitates that. I mean, they
provide
accommodate
us,
that would be the term.
Yeah, they provide us the space, basically, and then okay. and then some administrative support in terms of we use their software for registration, class registration, and record keeping and that kind of thing. And right. they take care of our the financial, some of the financial aspects. They keep our money,
yeah.
for example.
Yeah.
They pay us, yeah. you know, that kind of thing.
That's good. A central processing.
I wanted to ask why the how to grow tomatoes in the Verde Valley courses down at Clarkdale rather than up here where it would be easier for me to go to it.
It's all dependent. So the thing about Ollie is it's volunteer run.
Right.
So the facilitators are all volunteers. They're not paid. So they're simply there to share something that they would love to share, and that's the key. And then and you can tell that when you take classes, and that's the energy that runs the program is basically that. It's somebody sharing something that they've got a passion for, and when you're in a class that where that's true, you feel it, and you can follow it too. And so it's running on this sort of joy of learning, which is a very key aspect. And for me, it's in some ways revolutionary in an educational setting, because we're not driving it by saying you need to know this or you need to know that. We're driving it by the joy of learning. That's it. And I think that works particularly well in Sedona,
yeah.
actually. It particularly suits this environment in Sedona. There's a lot of people here who have curiosity, and there's a lot of people here who have something to share. You've got a very rich population of people with experience and
so, Paul, you started with teaching at Ollie a long time. How many people was it when the program started, Rob and Paul? And how many people now take classes?
Well, it began, I believe, with 28 in the first year. And, Robin, what's the latest figure?
Well, in a year we have about 820 people. And, again, that's split two-thirds to one-third between here and Cottonwood, Clarkdale, primarily. And then a few people out in Beaver Creek and places like that. But so we're over 550 in Sedona.
And you, Paul, you think it worked just like Robin does for the same reasons Robin thinks it works? Because it's just about love of learning. There's no credit courses, no tests. You just go to a course that's about something that's really interesting, and you've taught there for years, right?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly it. And we call them learning groups, not classes, because the people who attend usually have an interest in what's being discussed. The person who teaches it, we call the facilitator, so that it's a matter of a dialogue or integrating the information that everyone in the room has, not just the person at the front of the room. We have two formats. One is about a 6 to 8 week term with 90-minute classes once a week, or a one-shot 3-hour to 6-hour workshop. That's where it's very compact. By the way, I want to say that I believe the same degree of enthusiasm exists and could be manifested more in Cottonwood and Clarkdale. The program is as large as the number of people who step up to serve as facilitators and who sign up to participate. There's the feeling that community could be, there could be a great deal of growth in participation there. But Sedona started first and the Clarkdale, campus came next. So Sedona has a little bit of a longer history and, a very enthusiastic, set of participants. So it's
a
bit larger.
You all, mm-hmm. if you were shocked to find as many people in Sedona were that they were planning to sell the Sedona campus. Sedona campus consists of one very beautiful building, if you folks go out there, and 5 acres of undeveloped land. And in Cottonwood, you know, even Mike can have 5 acres of land. No, but land is more available. But in Sedona, having land
place,
to build something, I'm kidding you, but
sorry.
It's really, really scarce. And so if the college were to sell off those 5 acres, it's hard to see how they would ever have any public service. And if they sell off that beautiful building, what's going to happen to Ollie? What will they do with Ollie? They say they will have a presence, quote unquote, in Sedona, whatever. What does that mean?
Well, none of us really know what that means. And that's been our concern all along since, I think we found out about 4 months ago or so that, they first had several versions of the 10-year plan, the college 10-year plan, and three of those versions included selling the Sedona campus. And when I first noticed that, I was shocked. I hadn't known anything about it before. And then the concern for our program, and there was a lot of discussion back and forth with the college, and, very quickly they got to the place where they said, well, we're going to keep the program going in Sedona, and we'll relocate you. And we didn't know what that meant, and we started to rack our brains. Well, where could they move us? Because we have, at any one time at that, on that campus, we may have 400 people going to classes. And we're using five rooms at once, including some very big rooms with a lot of facilities and audiovisual equipment. And we have these big meetings called Lunch and Learn that happen every week where we have over 100 people. And we're starting to think to ourselves, where could we go to a place that has five classrooms, well-equipped classrooms, that would also have a big meeting hall where we could have these public events that we have called Lunch and Learn. And we, none of us could think of a place they could move us to. So then the concern came, it became a concern. Would we exist in several different smaller locations around town, not one location, or would we simply shrink into a smaller place? And I don't know the answer to that because that's still on the cards, and no suggestions have been put forth.
That's right. The Sedona campus, from all descriptions, is ideal for what Ollie is doing.
And we heard at the meeting that they had out there with all these people how much people loved the campus and how much they loved the rooms. And the reports that people in administration had said that your facility out there was no good because it didn't have rectangular room. I saw several people address the rectangular room issue. The president of the college also said that, look at that facility, talking about the film program. She said, look at the beautiful views from that facility. And she said, look, half the windows are blackened out for the film program. There's another reason too.
Well, okay, as we pointed out before we switched back to film, and I really want to do that, we mentioned that Ollie is not dependent on Yavapai College, other than, you know, it does provide the support that it provides that we've just described, but we want to mention that, you know, Ollie will exist,
yes,
without Yavapai College. I want to say that I think Yavapai College, without the pressure, If you like the Sedona campus of Yavapai College, then you need to keep up the pressure, because if the pressure goes away, I think the Sedona campus goes away. Go ahead, Robin.
Yeah, I think it's not entirely accurate to say without the college there would be an Ollie. I mean, we are actually dependent on the college in the sense that the
it's completely inaccurate is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, because the endowment that was given to that supports our program is the college's endowment. So they have so a third, if you took the college away, a third of our funding would go away. And the OSHA Lifelong Learning Institute is one of 115 OSHA Lifelong Learning Institutes around the country. Wow. And they're all located in institutions, colleges and universities. And so you have to be associated with an institution of some kind. So in our case, we're associated with Yavapai College,
right,
and they're providing us the space to operate. We don't pay anything for that space.
Well, it makes the most sense to hook your wagon to something like a community college, and the local, having a local one makes things that much better.
Yeah, most of the Ollies around the country are located in 4-year colleges. There's only two or three that are located in community colleges.
So
common.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to make sure that it's clear that the host screwed up.
I just wanted to say something. I don't know if we're going to come back to the building or not, but all of us that actually exist in that building, the Sedona Center for Arts and Technology, as it used to be called or still is called, We absolutely love that building. When you work in that space and you teach in that space, take classes in that space, it's a beautiful facility. The fact that the rooms aren't rectangular is actually a plus. It makes it a creative environment, and the rooms are extremely flexible, and you can move them around. You can do different kinds of classes in different rooms. It's an incredible facility. I've been in higher education all my life. I was a professor before this, and I've honestly never been in anywhere like it. So to say that it doesn't work is always confused me.
It is an incredible facility.
It's a strange thing to say, and I encourage folks to go out and look around. The facility is open. You can look around weekdays for sure.
Sure.
And it's a wonderful space with lots of different rooms. The terrible thing is that the film department is blacking out some windows. So, Jeremy, can you address that reason for selling the facility?
Oh, my gosh.
That the windows have been blackened out in some rooms?
It's hard to even respond to that. you know, it's pretty petty for me. We've been there 14 years, like I said, and Holly blocks out the rooms so they can watch movies. I mean, it's ridiculous what they say. I mean, where are you going to go? Are you going to go to Prescott? Are you going to say the same thing? Oh my gosh, you know, Granite Mountain's out there. We don't want to block out that window. So, to kind of come back to it too, I mean, in the idea of where the school says, or maybe even to the president, saying that the film is not successful. They brought in an interim director from Prescott to replace in our program, and she's going to pitch the college to try and move it to Prescott. So for me,
that's what we all figure is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean,
they're going to move it out.
Yeah,
but
this is when you apply a business model to education. I believe, you know, we haven't said this on any show yet, and I haven't heard it anywhere. But when you have accountants and bean counters making the kinds of decisions, rather than what Ollie does, you know, a love of learning. And we're talking about really a kind of a clash of philosophies here when it comes to what should higher learning be, what should post-secondary learning
they're
be.
They're going to say the same thing about all the consolidation and the neglect of the college facilities in the Verde Valley. There are more people in Prescott, twice as many people in Prescott Valley area. That population is growing quicker. It's a duplication of facilities to have it anywhere else. So I think all of us suspect that they're going to, if they're going to have the program at all,
one of the things I think they're going to move
it to Prescott.
That can be applied to the film school and to the whole Sedona campus, I believe. It's the same thing that you can apply to the Verde, to the Clarkdale campus. And this was pointed out by one of the, either Oliphant, Bob Oliphant, or someone, that removing all of the department heads, especially in a community like Cottonwood, especially in Clarkdale, and especially in a community like Sedona, these people were out in the community every day. And if they were involved in the Yavapai College programs, or Ollie programs, or film school programs, they were out in the community every day doing things, promoting, even just their presence at the other various meetings and civic groups and functions that happen in this town, and all the towns of the Verde Valley were a promotional aspect that you couldn't buy. So if there's a decline in enrollments in anything, whether it's the film school or the programs on the Clarkdale campus, part of the reason, and some people would say a big part of the reason, is moving every administrative aspect to Prescott. And then, of course, what happens the other thing I'm hearing is when you do that, those administrators say, you know what, I'd like to have this program in my hometown so I don't have to drive all the way to Sedona. Nice rocks, guys, but I want to stay home, or at least be able to drive down the street to be able to go to my work. So there is a pressure to end the program. Once again, whether it's the Verde Valley, whether it's Clarkdale or Sedona.
When the college went before the Sedona City Council on March 6th, they were asked, what happened to our film program? It seems to be going so well, and now you're closing it down. What happened? Now, that was one of the questions that the counselors asked, and I'm not sure there was a clear answer, but I did want to go to one of the things that we've been hearing, and that is that they need to sell the Sedona facility, Harold Harrington mentioned three reasons, and I'm just paraphrasing. One of them is the parking issue. There's no parking. There's no access to 89A, which I don't really understand what that's even about, and that they're worried about access from your current building that you occupy to the 5 undeveloped acres, and then the people in the council said, well, why didn't you buy the 5 acres next to the, you know. So it went on and on. So those were given as the reason, and when they were pinned down, Harold Harrington said, if those issues were resolved with Tennyson, he said, those issues were resolved, then there'd be, he didn't say we wouldn't move or close down the campus. He said there'd be no reason to close or move down the campus. So what do you think of those issues? Are those the real problems with the Sedona facility? Anybody?
Certainly not from my perspective, and there may be other. I just want to say that this whole thing is occurring in a much bigger issue, which is that the community colleges around the country are losing enrollment, shrinking, losing money. There's a kind of an identity crisis with community colleges, and in particular with Yavapai College. At least that's my perception. And here, so they're having to sort of reinvent themselves, or that the current conditions demand that they reinvent themselves. And I don't think they really know quite how to. And this 10-year plan is, they're sort of searching around to feel out how to do that. And so it's sort of this, all of this is taking place within a certain kind of confusion about what we are as a college. And in this particular area, there's traditionally it's been very vocationally oriented towards a younger population. But as we see with Ollie, and particularly relevant to these communities here, there's such a high proportion of older people, which is increasing in these communities. That to actually serve these communities, a traditional community college model doesn't really work. With respect to the Sedona campus, those reasons, I think, are kind of sitting on top of an overall strategy that they're trying to follow. Because, for example, with the parking issue, we've counted the parking spaces there. There's 30 parking spaces. And when we have 400 people taking classes, 30 parking spaces don't take care of very many people. So the parking lot, as far as we're concerned, isn't particularly relevant. Most of our people park in legal parking spaces along the street outside of the campus, and there's over 100 parking spaces out there. I mean, and our access to 89A is extremely good. I don't know what the relevance of this separate land is, because I don't see the college really talking about expanding or even thinking about expanding currently. So right
those
now,
were the reason given, Robin.
Yes.
They troubled the city council, which basically said, well, the current owners of the rest, there's two owners, one is the college and one is Mike Tennyson. And the council sort of said, well, you know, what happens if I came in from, Bulgaria or somewhere, and I bought the property, and the first thing I did was tell the 450 people who live in Sedona that they couldn't go and park on my land anymore, and then I told them that, you know, the city council is not going to, it seems a red herring in some sense, because the city council is not going to let that happen. You're not going to be able to come in and anger, you know, if you anger 450 people in Sedona, that multiply that by 10, that's, you know, you got 5,000 people angry at you. How your business is not going to be able to survive. The city council is not going to grant you the variance of zoning and stuff. But that is what they say are their three issues. That's why they want to close that campus. What other reason would they have?
Well, that we could only speculate about, right? But I feel like it's, I think they feel like it's a part of, a necessary part of an overall strategy that they have.
Right.
And I think they're, when I talk to them about it, I feel like they're genuinely interested, but genuinely confused about how to work with a place like Sedona. They really feel like that they've tried to offer programs here that haven't worked, and they don't quite know what to do to run a program here that they feel really works. Now, from my perspective, being in Sedona, that doesn't seem to be, that seems to be a sort of mistaken
perspective.
Well, you know, I saw the whole consolidation in Prescott thing. Yeah. You know, when you, without a doubt, that seems to be the strategy, both from the company, the consulting company that came up with the 10-year plan. Life gets easier if you have everything consolidated in Prescott for them. It defies, as far as most of us are concerned, the whole concept of a community college. Community colleges having a local campus.
And I think that one of the things that, well, like my perception, and I'm going to stop talking after this, but one of my perception is that it's really the connection to these communities that I feel like is not quite firing currently from the college. So the college is not as connected or plugged into the communities where it's operating as it could be, and thereby offering programs that really work in those communities. And that's particularly true being in Sedona. I'm sat here in Sedona and in my office, and I see what kind of programs work here, what kind of programs could work here. That's because I'm here. But when you try and run it from Prescott,
exactly,
that makes it very difficult. And so you tend to, I think that things get offered that aren't really viable in the communities where they're offered. And so that's a key factor. And I think that they need to address that by creating positions and trying to run the campuses locally.
It's hard for me to imagine a film school not being successful in Sedona. You know, a business. Pretend I don't know anything, which a lot of people would argue in favor of. You know, how could you not run a successful film school in Sedona? And how could you not have a successful retirement college? How could, you know, I don't want to go into, say, Yavapai should go into competition with Ollie, but, yeah, they should. They offer credit. And to not be attracting retirement, age folks in a place like Sedona where you have, we're going to go with Robin's figure of 550. I don't know why you keep knocking it down to 450. 550 participants in
I think the average age in Sedona is 55.
Or perfect.
Yes.
So, I mean, we're talking, and that's what I said earlier on how not to run a business. For them to not be tapping into the retirement folks as students, especially bless Yavapai College because it is very inexpensive. Not as inexpensive as Ollie, but still inexpensive. It defies my imagination to wonder why it's not the most successful thing on this side of town. Jeremy.
Yes, you kind of got me on that. What was it, 2 years ago, our attendance record was really high.
Okay.
Right. We won the Mayor's Arts Award, you know, and we've got reports of students just, it was ridiculous. I mean, the media was out there on us.
Yeah.
Last year, we have reports of, oh, they're under enrollment. You have to question that.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know, you come to this point where you say, okay, so how is this being managed? And how come film school, like for instance, they have a soccer program that's number one or number two in the nation in the NGCAA, right? Mm. They have them coming in and leaving. It's all international. No, there's nobody supporting soccer in our communities. It's just that we have soccer program. Well, it's in some respect, the same thing for film, though they can stay for the jobs for film. Eventually they're going to go out internationally. We brought in people from Brazil. You know, we brought in people from Egypt. There's a lot of, potential to bring in outside, what, funds?
Right, yeah.
I mean, you're looking
at recognition, if that's what they're after.
Recognition. You're looking at a really, really, attractive program. Now, they're changing that. So if they have a film school, they're going to put it into, you know, go take film theory, go take film history, maybe direct for a couple hours. You know, we have a unique program that doesn't abide by that, which is, you know, 12 hours a day, hands-on. You put a camera in your hand.
How about this? And I can say I just came from a free reporters class down at the Cronkite School at ASU this weekend, and we talked about following the money. Yavapai College in Prescott is a major economic development engine for that community. And I think it's maybe natural for especially those people if it's administered from Prescott to gather that economic engine. Gee, a film school in Prescott, a nursing school in Prescott, let's do the paralegal in Prescott. Let's every art program that there ever was, let's do in Prescott. And then,
if you live in Prescott, that is a really, really good idea.
Yeah. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You
want to look into that, talk into that pink thing in front of you.
One of the arguments, about, the film school is where it should be. Another one is, I guess when I listened to the city council meeting, people were shocked that the film program spiraled down. They said, "What happened?" And some of the counselors said, "Well, you know, we have been a sort of asleep at the wheel. We haven't been paying attention." And we turn around, we suddenly find the college is selling the Sedona campus. They've done something to the film school that was once a big success and now is put on life support. And they don't seem to care about Ollie, and they don't seem to be able to rate the community. And so there was a feeling on the city council, we're not going to let this happen again. But there was shock among ordinary Sedonans. I mean, I think you saw it at the two public meetings that people are really surprised at the film school, what happened to the film school. They're surprised they're planning to sell the campus here. And for Sedona, it's sort of an irreplaceable area if the land is sold, if the building is sold. Getting that for public use is nearly impossible. They'll never build a beautiful building like that. And they'll never find 5 acres for less than $1 million in Sedona. They got it the feeling that a lot of people is that they're selling the campus to raise money to have their programs over in Prescott Valley. Why don't we all sum up? You want to sum up, Paul? You've been teaching at the college. Have you got a course you want to talk about to folks? Or
no, I would just like to say that personally, I feel very grateful to Yavapai College. Dennis Garvey over there wrote the grant to the Osher Foundation to bring an Osher program to this campus. They welcomed it. Their endowment association is holding our money, but I don't believe they're profiting from that. They have given us the use of the Sedona campus over all these years at no charge. They've been a good friend to Ali thus far. And I think it's great that we're keeping it, reminding them of how important it has grown. Their child has grown to be a vital part of the Sedona community. And I hope that this is just a bump in the road, that we will restore our relationship with them, that they will see the value of what we have to offer, and they will continue the film school and Ollie at the Sedona campus.
And Jeremy, did you have a comment on what's happening with the film school and your?
In relation, I'm very grateful for these last 11 years that I've had, and to go out showing a film at the Mary Fisher's Theater for these students on a big screen on Memorial Day weekend. We're going to have a great time, and this has been one heck of a year, and these students, they come out having the best years of their lives. So it is very grateful that we have this campus here to support these students here and the kind of community that really rallies around them.
We always thank teachers for their service to the community.
With everything but money.
Yes. Well, this is Arizona.
Yeah, no problem.
Robin.
If you're interested in experiencing the Sedona campus, and if you're interested in the love of learning, you can come out to our open house. It's called A Taste of Ollie, happening on March the 27th at 10:30, starting at 10:30 at the Sedona campus, and you can try out different classes there and see how Ollie works and experience the campus and see what you think about that.
Sounds
campus.
Like a great event, March 27th on A Taste of Ollie. That's kind of very, very creative. We do want to have another announcement here. One of our supporters, DOR, Democrats of the Red Rocks, has their monthly movie, free movie. They're co-sponsoring a movie with called Wild versus Wall, and I believe this has stuff to do with the wall on the border of Arizona and Mexico. It's co-sponsored with the Sierra Club. It's at March 25th at 6 p.m. at the Sedona Public Library. Wild versus Wall movie, free movie, co-sponsored by Democrats of the Red Rocks and the Sierra Club. This podcast will be on vvid.org. You can find all our podcasts. This show will be on vvid.org.
You've
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.